Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the show, and for those of you who like to place a little wager on the ponies, and based on our survey, you love football and college football when you do, I'll have another gone. Retired today. I talked to Dick Girardi this morning, and we'll play the last half of the interview because we're going to talk about other horses. But he said the horse worked out really well early in the week. In fact, fabulous. People were just impressed. And then when it worked out yesterday, he said a lot of people sat back and went, It didn't have it. He said, now it may mean nothing, or it might mean everything. Well, in the end, it meant everything. Because all this stuff you're hearing from Doug O'Neill about, well, gee, he was great this morning, and then we worked him out today, and went blah, 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 and they made the decision. Dick said they worked him out yesterday, and when they worked him out yesterday, he raised eyebrows. We bring in a very disappointed Kevin Herr, who had basically put everything he has on the horse. Well,
the good news is I didn't lose it. The good news is I haven't lost anything.
He was a 4-5. You weren't going to win anything.
That's a good point too. But yeah,
you weren't going to win anything.
It's funny because O'Neill said that they noticed something odd yesterday, and here was his comment about.
He's been a little quiet the last few days of galloping, but his legs have been great. Yesterday he galloped great, but in the afternoon we noticed some loss of definition in his left front leg.
People around there said they didn't like how he ran yesterday.
Well, the question I had is, I don't know, maybe this is cold sounding, but why not run him, give it a shot, and run it anyway?
Why? I'll give you the exact reason why. This horse right now, why risk the millions of dollars in stud service and syndication?
If something were to tragically happen during the race.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the reason why. This is a two-part decision. This is a horse decision, and it is also a business decision.
But wouldn't you see signs of this earlier? I mean, that just all of a sudden within the line, I mean, or is it because of the two races being so close together is maybe what aggravated it?
No, I think that in the end, that's what it comes down to. I think in the end, the three race in 5 week thing comes into play here. And I still go back to how I've felt for years about the Triple Crown. I feel you should run the Kentucky Derby the first weekend in May. You should run the Preakness the first Saturday in June, and on the 4th of July, run the Belmont Stakes.
That's not a terrible idea at all. I mean, I like that a lot. And then what do you have? Is it September or October that's the Breeders' Cup?
It's October.
So you got a little bit of a gap there even.
Right.
Not that the same horses would run the Breeders' Cup, but you get to, you know.
No, but you could also run Saratoga, which is in August.
And, right.
You know, there's a lot of things that you can do.
I don't know, NBC right now has to be just devastated.
Yes, they do, because they were going to use this as a lead into the Stanley Cup.
I mean, they were hoping for anything they could get, and then they hear this.
We're all a bit shocked, but we have to do what's best for the horse. And if he can't compete at the top level, he's done enough.
I mean, when they heard he's done enough, I'm sure there was a lot of money coming out of pockets at NBC at that moment.
Well, they've already sold the race. It's not that, I mean, that part, they're going to lose ratings. But in terms of the, I mean, they'll make money because they've already sold
it. Well, yeah, I mean, but you're right. They're going to lose a lot of the numbers that they would have gotten. Even from casual race, and from non-race fans.
Sure. Yeah, and that's exactly what you have. So,
So again, we have another Belmont where it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. So, that happened today. We will still run our interview with Dick Girardi, at least the second half, because in the second half, I don't talk to him about the quitter. And,
Wow. How soon we turn.
Or it's quit. Now, look, it's a humane... What makes this interesting is that we know what allegations Doug O'Neill is under. Okay? He's suspended. He's the only reason he's allowed to do this is he's appealing his suspension. So for him, in conjunction with the owner, to make this decision tells you that they just don't want to risk it.
Well, I was going to ask you how much that his situation may have been involved in the factor to pull him instead of go ahead and let it go.
I think everything has to do with being humane to the horse and...
No, not humane to the horse. It's all about the dollars.
That they're going to be able to make a lot of money in this horse off syndication and stud fees. That's how they're going to do it.
Right. It's all about the pasture money.
Well, sure it is, but you're also being humane to the horse at the same time.
No. I don't mean to sound like that was the poor choice. I'm just saying I wondered if maybe just a part of it might have been because of the questions.
A big part of it is. All right, but the same, they don't want to risk it, and that's their call.
So I guess now on Saturday you have the choice between the NBA Game 7, the NHL, or an IndyCar race.
The NHL beat the IndyCar race.
Not by much.
NHL's pretty good following.
I noticed you didn't even touch the NBA one.
Well, the NBA will be first. Everybody knows that.
I have to admit, even I would sit down and watch a little bit of that, too.
I mean, I'm a Celtics fan, so I'm going to watch. I watched last night's game. And LeBron James was great. And Monday, we're going to have Jordan Steranko, who was drafted by the Pirates out of Penn State. And we'll be playing in the New York Penn League. And we're also going to have Bill O'Brien Monday.
Oh, I have to clear the air if I could for a moment. I was asked a couple of times in the last day or so. Actually, I think chastise a little bit would be the word for it. Because of my comments regarding NASCAR, I am going to Pocono this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, to watch some of the races. And I was getting a little bit of flack. Because why are you going on a NASCAR race when you hate NASCAR? I didn't say I hated NASCAR. That was Steve blowing it up a little bit. I said IndyCar is better than NASCAR. And if I'm going to a race, Pocono is the place I want to see it because I like the way that track is run. It's got oval speed, but it's got road course mentality when you're driving. So I just wanted to clear the air a little bit there. I don't hate NASCAR. I like IndyCar better.
You were rather bitter toward NASCAR when the big week came up with the Indianapolis 500 and also against the Coca-Cola 600 at the Lowe's Motor Speedway in Charlotte.
Still have issues.
You made sure in no uncertain terms that basically you did not endorse the type of racing that is done on the NASCAR circuit, as opposed to the majestic, wonderful, beautiful racing that is done by the IndyCars.
Totally agree with that. I did say that. Hate? No. Don't, no. Not hate.
Intensely dislike?
No. Dislike. Dislike.
Then why are you going this weekend?
Because I love this track. I love this track, and I love to watch anybody race. No, but I have been known to reach out and touch it after the race is over. Wow, it's still warm. Actually, that was a buddy of mine that did that.
You have to be kidding.
No, that was a buddy of mine that did that. We were driving out, and when you exit the infield, you're actually on the track. And he's like, we're on the track. They just got done racing. I'm like, calm down. It'll be okay. Wait. Stop up here. I'm like, what? What? Did you forget something? No, I just want to touch the track. Sad part was there were seven other people behind going, stop right here. I want to touch the track.
Oh, boy.
No, really? I love the type of racing they have at Pocono because, like I said, it is an oval field, but it drives a lot like a road
course.
Look,
you're just trying to make up for, you know, I mean, no. you're consumed with hate.
No, I like IndyCar better.
You're consumed. Consumed. I mean, you have become so bitter because your type of racing is not accepted, as opposed to
by
the
you.
I like any kind of racing. I've been very open about it. I have not put the gauntlet down and said this is better than that. I said I'll watch the Daytona 500. I'll watch the Indy 500. I'll watch a little bit of the Coca-Cola 600, the Brickyard 400. Those are the big races. I'll watch them.
It doesn't count unless you're laying out paper to go see it.
Well, excuse me, my schedule's a little different than most of America's, okay?
All right, so you're busy.
Yes, I am busy.
No, I seriously, I don't hate NASCAR. I love this track. I love the way this track is driven, and that's what I explained. And everybody's like, oh, okay, well, we thought you actually hated NASCAR and couldn't figure out why you were going up there. That's it. I don't hate NASCAR.
You don't like it either.
I don't like it as much. See, there's a difference.
There is?
Mm-hmm. I don't like it as much. Well, listen, all right, compare football to baseball. I like baseball, but I don't like baseball as much as I like football.
I see.
There's no difference there. I mean, it's the same situation.
No, you were openly comparing the two, and you were disparaging toward what NASCAR does.
Yes. I think the bumping, I think the pushing, I think some of the rules are dumb. I think some of the rules in baseball are dumb.
Well, it doesn't stop you in the grocery store.
What?
I mean, I know you've been known in the grocery store. Basically, I mean, women and children, get out of the way. You'll draft, bump, knock them off because you need that last, you know, that last candy bar in the aisle.
That's only on Black Friday when the deals are really good, okay?
It's kind of a bad rep to have.
I've only body checked a lady one time on Black Friday, all right? But, you know, it was a really sweet deal.
So you're wondering why you get a bad rep, and yet you have the gall to blame me?
Oh, it's all your fault because you instigate it.
I instigate it?
Yes. You instigate it and then blow it out of proportion to the point where I look like I'm a hater.
I just sat here and innocently listened.
Oh, yeah. You start the one program, and now the man who can't stand NASCAR.
I am just encapsulating your comments.
All right. My voice has been heard. I'm good.
No, people think you're a hater. And now when it comes back that people are really listening.
They weren't before.
Well, now, I mean, you've drawn the ire of the fans.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Nothing.
You were taken aback.
No, I did not. I said I still like IndyCar over NASCAR. I don't like the bumping. I don't like the pushing. I don't like the restrictor plates.
And isn't that the entire race?
No, I like watching the pit crews. I like road courses, which is probably why I like Pocono.
You like watching the pit crews?
Oh, yeah. Love pit strategy.
Pit strategy. You come in, you go as fast as you can, change a bunch of tires, get some fuel, and get it going.
All right, here's a good example where NASCAR exceeds IndyCar. IndyCar now has put back the dial, so you could dial the fuel mixture, so you could actually save fuel. You don't go as fast, but you save fuel and you make it in less pit stops. Don't like that idea. There, how's that? I'm just going to go to break and be done with it. Who's the sponsor today?
Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket.
They were the sponsor anyway. They may not be anymore.
Oh, no, because we're going to talk football next. They'll be back on board.
Oh, good.
Take the break.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, has all your summer partying needs. They have beer. They have snacks. They have soda. They have water. And did I mention they have beer? Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
All right, today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Phone line at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. And go online to visit them at lenapesolar.com for the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio at 4th Street in Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We will hear from Dr. Girardi after the 3:35 break. Now, as for you.
Yes.
You vehemently and passionately argue in favor of your open wheel IndyCar gang.
Over NASCAR, yes, I will say I do. I favor NASCAR, IndyCar over NASCAR.
And you make disparaging remarks about NASCAR's style of racing.
Yes.
In order to back up your point of view.
No, not discouraging. Not disparaging. Some distinct differences and what I don't like about NASCAR.
That's disparaging.
No, that's only if you take
don't
it
like,
that way.
You don't like the bumping. You don't like the pushing. You don't like exactly. Tell me where the positives are in that.
Well, I like the fact that you have to use a certain amount of guys over the wall when you have to do pit stops. I love the fact that you can't have four guys, one on each tire, the way they do in IndyCar. That I do like about NASCAR.
And then you get taken aback and take umbrage to someone who points out what they heard.
No, they just pointed out that I thought you hated NASCAR while you're going to a race.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I don't hate NASCAR. I just like IndyCar better.
You don't love NASCAR either.
Well, no, I will say that I am not what you would call a staunch fan of it, and so I won't be wearing my favorite driver's shirt or anything like that.
When you go to an IndyCar race, do you wear your favorite driver's shirt?
Yes, if I'm not working.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Marco Andretti?
Well, at that time it was Michael, but...
And you wear his shirt?
Yes.
Does your wife know this?
That's why she doesn't go.
Well, I can't blame her. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Do you wear your team's jersey to an event?
I wear my team's jersey to a fantasy draft.
Well, no, I'm asking the audience here. This is my opportunity to draw them into the conversation.
Gotcha.
In the professional school of broadcasting, this is what you do.
Oh, my mistake.
Okay.
Okay.
I learned it from Mark Lawrence. Our number is 1-800-795-9565.
Greetings.
When you go to a sporting event, do you wear your team's jersey or colors? You go to a Penn State game, do you wear a Penn State jersey? You go to an Eagles game, do you wear an Eagles jersey? Do you go to a Phillies game and wear a Dodgers jersey? Do you go to a Phillies game?
Not this week.
Phillies game and wear a Phillies jersey. Do you go to a Flyers game, wear a Flyers jersey or a Sixers jersey? Or do you wear a Tony Kanaan jersey to see an IndyCar race?
Actually, I will say last year...
Oh, no.
I wore Danica Patrick. I wore Danica Patrick to the Pocono race. However, they had a Danica Patrick truck in the vendor area, so I wasn't out of place at all.
So I asked the audience at 1-800-795-9565, do you wear your team's jersey or colors to a game? Obviously, he does.
Listen, I had a buddy who bravely wore a Mets hat to a Phillies game. Now that is a brave man.
Yeah. Saw a guy wear a Yankees hat to a Red Sox game once. He didn't survive the third.
He didn't see him come out of the stadium.
Well, no, it happened 10 feet in front of me. He got up and he screamed, Reggie Jackson forever. Reggie made it longer through the game than he did. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Sarah's next with the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We always power our phone line at 1-800-795-9565 by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. And today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'll have another scratch today at Belmont. Before the scratch, I talked to Dick Girardi. He had said that earlier, in fact, yesterday when they ran the horse, it raised eyebrows that suddenly it wasn't quite the same workout they saw earlier in the week. So after he talked about that, I asked him about Union Rags. Last week, Dick was with me at the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament. Left the tournament. He and I talked on the phone for a little while as he was driving back, and he was going back to watch Union Rags work out. So I asked him how well the horse worked.
I thought he looked great on Sunday. I thought he certainly, he's just this big, powerful. He's the number one recruit. If you're seeing him all out there, you're going, all right, who's the horse? He's the one, but right now he just hasn't fulfilled it. Is it because he's been unlucky, or was he just a teenager who didn't grow up? We're going to find out tomorrow. I was seeing this morning, but I talked to somebody who did. They said he was like a wild horse, like, let me run, which was similar to the way it was in the Derby. Problem was there, he didn't get a chance to run. He was eliminated at the start. Hopefully we will get a chance to see the real Union Rags. And it looks to me the way the race sets up, the horse just to his left, Unstoppable U, is the two horses going to the front. I think he'll follow Unstoppable U right into the first turn and come out of it. I would say probably no worse than third or fourth, because I know one thing. I don't know that Michael Metz is concerned with ultimately what the result is. I know he wants to win. He just wants this horse to be able to see clean air and sky and not other horses in front of them. So at one point or another, Johnny V will put him into the race and we'll see what he's got.
Well, Johnny V, now if you're going to handpick somebody that knows how to take this trip, it's him.
He's the best. Yeah, I think he's the best in the country right now. And he's obviously a big race guy, John Velasquez. He's won the Belmont. He's won the Derby. He's won Breeders' Cup races. He won a lot of money for me a few years ago. Steve won the Hoss. We will not forget the Hoss anytime soon. So Johnny V always holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, but this guy knows how to find the spot, and that's where experience comes into play. This is not a 20 horse race; it's a 12. But still, he has the ability to figure out right away where to run the horse in clean air.
Yeah, he's probably the smartest jockey riding today, and interestingly, his agent might be the smartest jockey that ever lived. That's Angel Cordero, who really could read a race like nobody else. And Johnny's got that kind of ability. So he studied it. He studied the tapes. He's really been wanting to get on and ride Union Rags since last October. He's going to get his chance. I know when he got off the horse on Sunday down at Fair Hill, he said, oh, my God, like he couldn't believe what he was sitting on. So hopefully we'll see the real deal tomorrow.
What about Delahan?
Yeah, I think he's live. Love his trainer, Dale Romans. He's really become one of the best big race guys in the country. Dale's saying, I'm the horse to beat, and he's not really a bragger. He's one of these guys, if he talks, you better listen. And of the horses that have been training at Belmont for the last week, nobody has trained better than Belmont.
Great fractions all the way through?
I think it'll be fair. I mean, there's not a lot of ton of early speed in the race. They're not going to go really fast because it's a mile and a half. They never do, because if you go really fast, you're not going to be around to the finish unless you're Secretariat, which where he went really fast, just kept going fast, set a world record, which hasn't been touched since then. I would think just decent. But there's what you don't want to see, there's like four or five absolutely no-hopers. Just go to the back and stay there. Get out of the way. Don't get in anybody's way here, and let's see who's got the best horse.
Let's talk a little bit more about Delahan and his start spot and also the kind of trip he needs.
Yeah, it's interesting. He generally comes from pretty far back. Given how he's worked and given what I'm hearing, I think he's going to be closer. I think he might be in the top six or seven as they hit the backstretch. And basically, he needs just a clean shot at it, like they all do. They all want to get into their nice stride. Don't try to do too much too soon. And then at some point, the jockey has to decide, all right, now's the time. I got a feel for my horse. I think he can make a 500-yard sprint, a 600-yard sprint, whatever it is, and then you just let him go and you see if it's going to get up to the wire.
Now, here's the difference. When we talked about Kentucky Derby to Preakness, we discussed the mythology of the tighter turns at Pimlico. It's just a narrower track.
Correct.
But there is a difference at Belmont because of the size of the track. It's the wide sweeping turns. How does that enter into this?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that the horses either like Belmont or they don't. And it is unique in that it's a 50% bigger circumference than either the Churchill Downs or Pimlico. It's a mile-and-a-half track. It's the only one we have in the country. So the turns are really wide and really sweeping and really long. You feel like you're on a turn forever. It's almost like a straightaway with a slight bend. And to me, it's always favored the bigger, longer striding horses, maybe not the super agile ones. So that gets right into Union Rag's wheelhouse. He won the Champagne Stakes last year at Belmont. It was his best race ever. So he obviously has an affinity for the racetrack. So I would think that would favor him. I don't know that it's going to necessarily hurt or help anybody else, but I can almost assure you that Union Rag will like the racetrack.
No horse has come closer since Affirmed, since Smarty. You were there that day. It still must be a heartbreak just to think about what happened 8 years ago. It was that close.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, he was the best horse coming in. He was the best horse in the race. Just the circumstances of the race ultimately prohibited him from winning. And what was fascinating is he ran all the other contenders out of the race. I mean, he just ran them out. They all just backed up, quit, gave up. And a horse who was just sort of even pace, Birdstone, came and got him at the finish. And look, if Birdstone had not picked that day to go back to his two-year-old form, and he really hadn't done much as the three-year-old, then Smarty would have won by eight and they'd put statues up of him. But that's why it's so hard. I mean, Real Quiet almost won it. One horse came to get him. Always seems to be that one horse. We'll see tomorrow if there's going to be one that can find a way to either run away from I'll have another or not let him catch up.
Won't be allowed to happen because I'll have another is, as Dick would say, gone.
Gone.
But it gives you at least a real feel for the other horses in the field.
The numbers now adjusted with I'll have another out. Delahan is 9-5, Painter 7-2, and Union Rag's a 3-1 right now. Everybody else is 8 or higher.
As Dick said, go to the back of the pack, get out of the way.
Yeah, well, I think he was referring to 5-16 and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Referring to several of them to get out of the way.
Unstoppable.
No, Unstoppable's early speed.
20-1. That might be a nice show bet then.
Unstoppable is early speed. Nah, I've got a feeling that horse fades.
But that's early speed. Union Rags is next to unstoppable.
Right, in the three.
Yeah. All right, so here's our question. I have two questions for today. Questions for today at 1-800-795-9565. Do you wear your team's jersey colors, whatever, when you go to a game? Kevin wears Danica Patrick garb when he goes to Nationwide races. All right. Should the Phillies be sellers instead of buyers?
Oh, that's a tough one right now for me.
I want to know what the fans think.
No, I'm just thinking it as a fan.
Have you given up on this team where it's a point like, you know what, time to sell out? Now, Kevin doesn't like my attitude about they played for now. I would have played for now. I'd have dealt these guys. Did you do what I asked you to do?
What did you do? What did you ask me to do?
What the guys that they traded away for Halliday, guys they traded away for Hunter Pence, all right? How are they doing?
Well, they're not all-stars.
Exactly.
I understand that.
So you would have kept them instead because they would have given you what?
No. See, that's where you didn't get where I was going. It has nothing to do with I think we traded away too much to get these guys. I don't think that at all. I mean, the trade at the time made sense. But now, looking back on it in hindsight, was it worth it? Because we didn't get to the place we wanted to be with that deal. Like, getting Hunter Pence was to get to the World Series. Didn't happen. Right. Now we're starting to pay for it. That's where I was looking at.
Where are you paying for it?
Six games out of first place in June.
And it's his fault? In fact, they're not six games from first place unless they have him.
No, but the problem is we don't have the young players to bring up because of the injury situation now.
Who did they trade for Hunter Pence?
All right, I'll look at that during the break.
That's what I'm asking you.
All right.
And I'm telling you right now, they didn't trade anything worth a darn. Okay? That's what I'm telling you. They didn't trade anybody that is a difference maker. They did not trade Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson. It's worth it. They're not six games from first place. Okay, they're probably 10 back without Hunter Pence. They're cooked and fried without Hunter Pence.
I mean, the big one in that deal was probably Dominic Brown. I think he was one of the. I think he was the one that one of the guys in that deal for Hunter Pence.
The Phillies still have Dominic Brown.
Well, who did they? I thought they traded somebody like, I thought it was Dominic Brown, but.
No, he's with Lehigh Valley.
It was somebody along, I thought it was an outfielder. Hang on.
Oh, hold on. Here we go.
See, this is what happens when you put me on the spot. I have to think, and then bad things happen.
I asked you last night to look at this.
Yeah, I'm still looking back. Let's see.
Look at what the Phillies are giving up. Okay.
Oh, that's right. They didn't trade Brown.
No, they still have Brown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jared Kosart.
6'3", right-hander, receives $550,000 bonus as a 38th pick in 2008. He's managed to stay healthy. Jonathan Singleton, first baseman.
Well, that would have come in handy today.
Checked in, number three, offseason prospect just behind Kosart. Singleton's 2011 has been something of a mixed bag. They compare him to Pat Burrell. Josh Zied, 10th round pick, 2009 out of Tulane. 23-year-old dominating low A in relief. On the other hand, Zied impressed in the Arizona Fall League, and reports have him moving consistently into the 93-94 mile-per-hour range. And a player to be named later. All right. So,
Let's see. For Halliday, Kyle Drabik, Michael Taylor, who, by the way, I think was very good. Cliff Lee, they gave up, Carlos Carrasco, Lou Marson, Jason Donald, whom I like. They got him from the Indians. I remember him early in his career with Mahoning Valley. And for Roy Oswalt, they gave up J.A. Happ and Anthony Gauss.
I did like Happ, but that wasn't a bad, that wasn't a terrible deal in that situation. Unfortunately, I mean, he's not there anymore, but.
This is what you did.
First base was would be helpful, though.
Yeah, but these guys aren't in the majors. All right? They are not in the majors. And they probably wouldn't be in the majors now. They did not give up Dominic Brown or Vance Worley, the two guys that they wanted.
Right. Well, they were looking to give them up if they got somebody worth it and didn't. You're right. Yeah.
Okay.
And Vance Worley would have definitely been somebody they shouldn't have given up.
Exactly. Now you're talking about an issue. They did not give up any players that right now have made you regret the trade, and you are not six games out unless you have Hunter Pence. Remember, he has no protection around him, and he's still driving in runs for you. He also, if they decide to make a move, he'd be one of the guys that you'd look at to make a move with.
All right, let's say you turn this around now. You're Ruben Amaro right now. Ruben Amaro has said many times that we always try to address our needs. What needs can you address, and can you address enough of them before the trade deadline?
It depends on what I see from Chase Utley. And it depends on what I hear about Roy Halladay.
Would those two be the right now the difference between being a buyer and a seller in your mind?
Sure it is. Because you end up being somebody that's in a buying position because it turns out back you're buying back your own players. I mean, that's what happens. In other words, you're acquiring Chase Utley on July 1st. You're acquiring Roy Halladay on July 15th. You're acquiring Ryan Howard on July 31st. It's essentially what you have. Red Sox are in the same spot. They're essentially acquiring Jacoby Ellsbury in 2 weeks. They're acquiring Carl Crawford at the end of July. They're acquiring Andrew Bailey in a few weeks.
If the Phillies become sellers, one of the people I think go quickly is Shane Victorino.
Probably.
That would be sad, but
he hasn't hit. What is he hitting, 250 right now?
I don't know. I'll tell you in a minute.
But you're not six games out without Hunter Pence. You have to make moves like that, and I think they've moved wisely. I think they've dealt prospects that are years away from helping somebody. Now, in retrospect, do I wish the Red Sox had dealt Clay Buchholz for Roy Halladay? Because that was the original deal. The Phillies didn't have Halladay. The Red Sox did. If they had dealt Clay Buchholz, they could have had him.
By the way, I'm sorry. You're wrong with Shane Victorino. He's batting only 249, not 250.
Sorry. Well, I'm wrong again. 1-800-795-9565. All right. When you go to an event, do you wear your team's colors? Jersey, hat, something. Also, here it is, June 8th. Do you feel like the Phillies now should be buyers or sellers? Do you still have optimism that they can come back and win it? Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Phone line is powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, Jordan Steranka and Bill O'Brien. Monday show as we continue on WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Brewers Outlet, our sponsor today, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Our number 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. Deb has been patient, waiting in Riverside. Hi, Deb. Thank you for joining the show and for your patience.
No problem. I love your show.
Well, thank you. We love you.
I'm just calling. You posed the question about, do people wear their team jerseys or, you know,
yes.
The game? Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? And I just want to share a story. I believe it was 1998. I'm an ultimate Steelers fan. Went to see the Steelers and the Eagles in Philadelphia. Took my 16-year-old daughter. It was her first NFL game, and went with another friend. And my brother said, don't wear your Steelers gear to Philly. But I did. We all did. And actually, we were on a bus trip, so we were all scattered around. And the three of us were sitting by ourselves, and the fellows behind us were spitting on us and burning us with cigarettes, but we didn't care. We were proud Steelers fans. And it was the year where they held a court underneath the stadium, and they were taking rows of Eagles fans out for rowdy behavior. Mm-hmm. And actually, the fellows in front of us, who were Eagles fans, escorted us out. But absolutely, I'm a woman, but I'm not afraid to wear my gear to a game. I've been to lots of football games. Last year, went to see the Phillies and the Pirates, wore my Mazeroski shirt, and the Pirates won. So I know I'm a lonely Pirates fan, but they're doing okay this year.
Be loud, be proud.
So I just wanted to call and say I listen to your show every day. And why wouldn't you wear your team's gear?
Absolutely, Deb. That's wonderful. That's why, although Kevin shouldn't be wearing the Danica Patrick thing. That gets me a little old.
But I've been to NASCAR races, too, and I was always a Richard Petty fan.
Yeah?
But now if I went to a race, I would wear Danica Patrick.
There you go. It would look better on you, I guarantee it. Deb, thank you so much. Our number, 1-800-795-9565.